Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I know some of you will take offense at that. Well, I take offense at you blaming God for every rotten thing. Amen. God is not the source of our problems. God is not causing all of this tragedy. We were given the authority to rule, and when we yielded to the devil, we became his hostage. And now, Satan, in a sense, had a gun to our head and saying, God, if you touch me for what I've done, for the way I tricked Adam and Eve, then you're going to have to kill them too, because they willingly. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15, that the woman being deceived, she was deceived, but the man was not deceived in the transgression. Eve may have been fooled, but Adam had his eyes open. He saw Eve pass from life to death. He saw her die. He knew that what the serpent had been saying was wrong. But he loved Eve so much that he willfully wanted to be with her rather than to live in life and be separated from her. And he gave his life and plunged into sin knowingly, and therefore plunged all of the human race under the power and under the authority of the devil. We're the ones that empowered him. Or here's another way of saying this. God made Lucifer a godly being. Man made Satan. We are the ones that empowered him. We created Satan. We gave him his authority and power. God did not create this demonic force and loose it in the earth just to see if his people could withstand. He created an angelic force that had no power to do anything except serve us. And if we hadn't have bought into the lies that were inspired by the devil, then Satan couldn't have done anything. Adam and Eve, all they had to do was just turn away and say, look, I'm not discussing it. God said, don't eat of the tree. End of discussion. Who cares what his reason is? Why? God is a good God. He's never treated us bad. We aren't going there. If they'd have done that, this would have been over. But they bought into it and they willfully submitted themselves unto Satan. And that is where Satan got his authority from. And the reason this is so important to me is because Satan isn't an angel who is using a fallen angelic power that is superhuman and supernatural to fight me. Satan is a fallen being that has no power except the authority that mankind gave him. And Jesus bought that back. Jesus took it to the devil and defeated him. And now he said, I have power in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth. That's talking about hell. He came out of hell with the keys of death and of hell dangling on his side. He's defeated the devil, and Satan is a big old zero with the rim knocked off. He is unable to do anything except he's got a huge mouth and he lies and condemns. And one of his biggest PR people on the face of the earth is the church, giving him more credit and more power than he needs. And because of that, people are afraid that, oh, the devil's come against me and things like this. The devil can't do anything to you. And if you understand that, he has zippo power against you. You know, when I first got really turned on to the Lord, I was raised in the Baptist church, and I was taught that all the demons lived in Africa, some third world country, that there were no demons here. I didn't realize that there was any spiritual things going on. And when I got turned on to the Lord, I came to realize that demons do exist and that there were sicknesses that Jesus cast out of people and they were demons. And people were set free. And I began to realize that demon things existed. We started seeing people delivered. They would be hardcore drug addicts, and instead of them going through withdrawals, we would cast the spirits out and they'd instantly be set free and no withdrawals. And we started seeing miracles. We started seeing homosexuals delivered of demons. That's really popular today. But if you're a homosexual, you got demons. That rubs you the wrong way. I don't hate you. You're just demon possessed. Amen. And you can get delivered of it. There are demons that cause physical traits. When I began to realize this, I started thinking there was a demon on every doorknob. And man, if a person twitched, if they had a twitch, if they coughed, if they sneezed all of the time, I was thinking it was a demon. Everything was a demon. I got so demon conscious. And, I think that most people do something like this. You tend to go from extremes. It's like a pendulum. You are way over here believing that there are no such things as demons, or if they are, they're only witch doctors in Africa. And then when you find out that, nope, there are demons around, you go all this other way over here to where you think everybody's got a demon. Everything's a demon. If your hair's a certain color, it's because you're demonic. Amen. No, there's a balance somewhere in between. But anyway, I went to the extreme and we started seeing demons everywhere. And anyway, it's a long story, but what happened was I had demonic manifestations. I had demons choking me. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I'd been attacked. I was bleeding. There's a number of times I spent one night fighting with demons. Nobody was around. Couldn't see a thing, but something was choking me. And I fought for my life for hours. I've been through a number of things like that. And somebody says, see, the devil's powerful. You know why he was powerful? Because I was giving him that power by focusing on him. I found myself actually praying. I would pray 3 and 4 hours a day. And one day it dawned on me that about half of that, an hour and a half of quote unquote prayer, was talking to the devil. I thought, something's wrong with this picture. If it's prayer, I should be talking to God, not the devil. And yet I was spending half my time binding this and loosening that, and I'm doing all of these things, and I just decided that was unproductive. You know, one of the ways that all of this came to pass is I don't want to go through all these stories. Man, I've done everything I'm preaching against, I've done. So I'm not against anybody, but I'll give you a real quick instance that we read this book. I won't tell you the name of the book because it's not worth the paper that's printed on, but we read it. And you had to have two people to cast demons out, or the demons would come out of that person and into you. So you had to have two people. You had to have them throw up in a bucket. You had to have them renounce this. You had to have them do that. You had to ask them your name. What's your name? This friend of mine, he talked to a demon-possessed person. What's your name? What's your name? In the name of Jesus, tell me your name. And finally the guy said, liar. And he says, are you telling me the truth? Anyway, we had this form that you had to fill out, and it took 45 days of us prepping you and telling you what to do. And we had to go through all these things that Jesus never did. But, you know, we didn't know any better. We just knew that there were demons, and we didn't know how to deal with it, so we took anybody's advice, and we were following all this advice. And anyway, there was a homosexual guy who we'd been prepping for deliverance, and he was scheduled for 2 weeks away or something. And the guy who helped me cast demons out was gone to a conference, and we were still in the Baptist church. And so on a Wednesday night, this guy came for deliverance, and the other guy was gone, so they came and got me out of the service. And I went out, and he was there, and he had another demon possessed guy, another homosexual guy that was with him, that came to see if this was real, and if it was, well, then he was going to get deliverance. And so anyway, they called me and they said, well, we're here to get delivered. And I said, you aren't scheduled for deliverance for another couple of weeks. And he says, I'm not leaving this place with these demons. I'm getting delivered tonight. And I said, no, you aren't. I'm not casting them out. And he says, you better do something because they're coming out. You better go to pleading the blood over this place. So this is before Jamie and I got married. But Jamie and I were prayer partners. And so Jamie came back there with me, and I don't think Jamie had ever been through a deliverance at that time, and I just had her back there with me. So we went into this room, and it was a Sunday school room, and it was glass on two sides like this, and anyway, we were in there, and they had chairs stacked up, you know, 10 on top of each other all the way up to the ceiling and stuff. And we were in there, and this guy said, these demons are coming out. And I said, I'm not going to deal with them. And he said, you better do something. And all of a sudden, he fell on the floor and got to barking like a dog and writhing like a snake and throwing chairs up against these glass walls and doing things. And I looked around, and that other homosexual guy was up on top of one of those stacks of chairs up against the wall like this, looking at it. Jamie was praying in tongues, and I didn't know what to do. And so I said, what's your name? In the name of Jesus, tell me your name. And one would name itself. And before I could get that one cast out, another would name itself. And it And it was, I just felt like I was being made an absolute fool of. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was in there and I thought, oh, Jesus, help Jesus. And finally, I had this scripture come to mind where Jesus commanded them to shut up, keep quiet and come out. And I thought, boy, that would be good. And so I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command all of you to shut up and come out in Jesus' name. And this guy just, boom, fell on his face like this, like he was dead. And I went up and kind of rolled him over to see if he was alive. And he was just, oh, I'm free, I'm free. And he was just thanking God that he was free. And I thought, well, that was easier than the way I've been doing this. And I decided I was going to quit asking them their name and having them throw up in a bucket and do everything else. I was just going to command them to come out and believe that they were free. And I started changing. But anyway, my point is that back during that period of time, I had demonic manifestations. I was having things happen to me. I was plagued in my dreams. I was having physical manifestations. That's been about 38 or 40 years ago. I have never had another demonic manifestation since I quit giving Satan so much attention and so much power. Satan was using my own focus on him and my own amplification of his power to intimidate me and to do that. And if you are having demonic manifestations and it seems like you're just plagued in your dreams, it's because you've given Satan more credit than he deserves. Look at this passage of scripture over in Ezekiel chapter 28.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.